You're listening to Boston Public Radio with Jim Browdy and Marjorie Egan. You know, after banning all but small containers of liquids, requiring shoes to be removed and belts, doing intrusive exam this week, you know, the TSA loosened restrictions to come into compliance with some international rules on things like small knives and some sporting equipment. But no matter what they do, I think you'd agree, most flyers feel like they're stuck in situations just like this.
You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir, I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Do you want me to check the weather, Clarence?
No, why don't you take care of it? Joey, do you ever hang around the gymnasium? Joey, do you like movies about gladiators? Joey, have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Joining us on the line from Somerville is an airline pilot and air travel writer. Nothing like that. Welcome to Boston Public Radio, Patrick Smith.
Thanks for having me.
Now, can you, as an airplane pilot, are you able to laugh at airplane or you can't laugh?
That segment you just played is a classic that most of us know pretty much verbatim. I was mouthing the words along.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. So I don't know. Maybe I just don't get it, Patrick, but I don't understand why we need to have lacrosse sticks, billiards, hockey sticks, ski poles, and golf clubs on the airplanes. I mean, isn't that the sort of thing that goes down in the cargo? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, there's a weird like sporting goods aspect to this whole thing that I don't quite follow. What about fencing foils? Where do they fit in?
Exactly. And where do you put them? I mean, it's just,
overhead compartments.
You can't put golf clubs in the overhead
compartments. Oh, yes, you can.
I don't think so.
So, but there are two aspects of this, it seems to me, Patrick Smith. One is the security issue. Does this lessen our security on an airline? And obviously the TSA determined no. You can speak to that. But secondly, for those of us who feel like sardines on most flights anyway, the notion that we're going to have to contend with hockey sticks and golf clubs in addition to everything else is surreal. So start with the security issues. Small knives, sporting equipment. Are the flight attendants union, are they right this is a horror show?
I don't think so. I'm at odds with that perspective. If you ask me, I think this is one of the most sensible and rational things TSA has done in a long time.
Why?
You're kidding. Why?
Well, you know, let's state the obvious. I think what nobody's acknowledging is the simple fact that you can make a potentially deadly sharp object, a knife, let's call it, out of virtually anything. There are tens of thousands of ways of manufacturing, you know, a potentially deadly weapon. And there's never been any point, if you'll excuse the pun, in going through bags and confiscating little hobby knives and scissors when a much more dangerous implement could be made from, for example, a broken first class dinner plate or a wine glass or a shard of plastic and on and on and on. The existing ban was, I feel, just a knee-jerk reaction to the 2001 attacks, and it really hasn't made any sense right from the start. And easing these rules will free up time and resources and allow the TSA guards to concentrate on what I think are more legitimate threats.
We want to know if you agree with Patrick Smith, 877-301-8970. That's the security issue, Patrick. I have to say, I'm serious. I am such a frustrated flyer, and it's not your fault. You go through the line, you're taking off your shoes, and you're taking off your whatever, and your socks have holes in them, and all these horrible things. And then you finally get on the plane, and most places you can't fit on the seat terribly well. There's virtually no room in the overheads. Why do we want people storing even more crap up there so it makes the ride even more uncomfortable than it is?
Well, the amount of overhead luggage that people bring on planes is itself another issue. As for hockey sticks and you know, the sports equipment that these measures are talking about, I mean, you're going to see very little of that. I just can't imagine overhead bins, you know, brimming with hockey sticks and tennis rackets and golf clubs. It's just not going to happen.
You know, but Patrick, you're in the industry, but I have to disagree with you. When I was on a flight a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, Chicago, wherever I was going, people trying to fit suitcases the size of steamer trunks over their heads. I mean, people are, the
real
goal is to get everything on the flight.
The overhead bins. It gets brutal.
You're right.
Dog.
It is a problem. It is a problem. I don't think that the new TSA rules are really going to make that any worse than it already is. But But sure, people are in the habit now. It's just something we take for granted that you're going to bring as much as you possibly can onto the airplane and cram those bins full.
So you can save $25. That's what I don't get is why not put your golf clubs in, you know, underneath the plane, you know, in the cargo compartment. Is that so you can save money? Is that the idea behind? Why would anybody bring these things on the airplane?
To get into action more quickly. Well, everybody's goal is to get off the flight and move.
It's to get off the plane really quickly, but it just seems like such a crazy thing to me. And by the way, they still have the bands, unless I've missed something here. Patrick, correct me. You still have to be under, you wrote about this, under 4 ounces or something with your little liquids, right? You still have to have the plastic bags, the little baggies showing all your little liquids, and they confiscate them because they're dangerous weapons, your little bottle of aloe vera lotion.
What do you think about that one, actually, Patrick? The liquid under whatever it is, 3-4 ounces. What do you think about that prohibition?
Well, it's arbitrary and kind of weird, and there are ways around it. And I wouldn't be totally shocked to see that changing sometime in the reasonably near future.
So let's assume we make you head of the TSA tomorrow. You tell us what we can't bring on an airplane. I'm serious. What can't you bring on an airplane under a TSA run by Patrick Smith?
Well, the big threat to commercial aviation is what it's always been, which is explosives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so fixated on the whole 9/11 thing. And, you know, really the huge irony of 9/11 is that the success of those attacks really had nothing to do with airport security in the first place. And I say that and people go, oh, my God, what do you mean? You know, the conventional wisdom is the idea that the attacks succeeded because these guys smuggled box cutters onto planes, and that's wrong. I mean, what the guys actually took advantage of wasn't a weakness in security. It was a weakness in our thinking and our presumptions of what a hijacking was and how it was going to unfold based on, you know, the decades-long record of hijackings and how they happened. That's totally different now. And even then, the presence of box cutters was just really incidental. The guys could have used anything. They could have used broken plates, ballpoint pens that had been sharpened down, especially when they were also bluffing about having a bomb. They weren't relying on hardware. They were relying on the element of surprise. That had to happen is for them not to chicken out, and their plot was going to work. And it did. But that's not true anymore.
My sense, Patrick, is that a lot of what TSA has done post 9/11 is more a public relations thing. Marjorie and I used to fight all the time about those full body scanners, the 250 grand things. I think they had one or two or something at Logan. But ultimately, we read reports saying that you could hide things in body cavities or, quote, folds of flesh, if you'll excuse the expression,
right.
And they couldn't be detected. So the whole point was no point, correct?
Right. And meanwhile, you had one body scanner. You had a body scanner at one checkpoint, but not one at the checkpoint right next to it. I mean, the whole thing was flawed. And you know, maybe not to be too cynical, but was it really about safety or was it about the contractors who stood to make billions and billions of dollars by deploying these machines?
Yeah. And they're not even going to last. A lot of airports
are going to be taken out
because they don't last. So you're going through all these things for absolutely nothing. Our numbers are 877-304-8970. Whoops. 877-301-8970 if you want to call us about the TSA and talk with Patrick, who is an experienced pilot. You've been down on these naked body scanners for ages, Patrick. I've read that in your stories. Mark from Watertown, you are on the phone with Jim and me and our pilot, Patrick. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Great. Good. So I had a couple of quick points. I'm also a pilot, not a commercial pilot, but I do fly. So I've been through a lot of the TSA nonsense, for a better word, you know, and some of the things that have been pointed out are really good points. And, you know, I like to think the TSA is more reactive than anything, which is part of the reason that I think a lot of people, myself included, find it so useless. You know, there was the whole scare with liquid explosives. So you're limited to itty bitty containers, except that you can still take a gallon bag of them on. Why is a gallon of that okay versus itty bitty bottles versus
That's
a big bottle?
Great.
Is that true?
Yeah,
is that true?
You can deconstruct the rules and then, you know, point out numerous ways how silly and contradictory they are. And he's right. I mean, TSA is, to some extent, reactive. But that's not to say the agency doesn't do good and useful and important things. But they tend to be the things we don't see. I think the real job of keeping terrorists away from planes, it doesn't happen at the concourse checkpoint.
It happens
offstage, and it's not necessarily the job of TSA. It's the job of the FBI and the CIA and
Absolutely.
Government and
yeah.
police. And you know, TSA has a role at the checkpoint, but that's not the primary role. Primary role,
right.
Really, it goes on backstage.
Unfortunately, the primary role that people interact with is the reason that people complain as much as they do.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was in Milwaukee.
Thank you, Mark.
And the TSA, this is true, I told Marjorie this, literally the guy put his hand in my pants. And you say to yourself, what purpose is that? I mean, and by the way, I was willing to go through the x-ray machine. And you say, and by the way, he put his hand in my pants and no offer to go out for a drink, nothing. It was frightening. Joe and Stoughton, you are next with Marjorie Egan, Jim Browdy, and Patrick Smith. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent, thanks.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
First of all, I do understand the golf clubs, okay, because golf clubs can be pretty expensive. And once they get into the hold of the airplane,
uh-huh.
Based on a story I'm just about to tell you, they can get ruined. I was coming back from Nashville, Tennessee. I was I had been hired, and I was playing down there. And on the way back, I had the unfortunate chance to run into American Airlines, who would not allow me to put my guitar, my $1,299 guitar, on board.
Oops.
They insisted that I put it in the hold. And that guitar cost me almost $700 to fix after they smashed it and told me, tough.
Maybe they didn't like your music, Joe. Hey, Joe, wait a second. The rules as of now, Patrick or Joe, can you not take a guitar on a plane and put it overhead?
Depends.
What does that mean? Depends on what?
Depends on the air crew.
Oh, you mean it's a discretionary kind of thing on their part as to what? As to whether there's room or some such thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's true, Jim. I think it depends on the aircraft size. Some planes have much larger bins than others. Sometimes the crew will let you store stuff in a forward closet, but often on a smaller plane, the closets are full. Technically, a guitar is supposed to be checked luggage.
Hey, Joe, thanks for the call. Better luck next time. Let's go to JP, Jamaica Plain, where Benjamin's on the phone on Boston Public Radio with Jim, Marjorie, and Patrick Smith. Welcome, Benjamin.
Hi, Benjamin.
Hi.
Hey.
I thought this was appropriate to my recent experience. I fly a lot, and I carry a snap blade knife, one of those extending blades that snap off. And in many, many trips, I've never had it discovered by TSA, although they're always very interested in the bandage on my hand. And my most recent trip, I helped a friend clean her stove before getting on the flight, and that triggered an alarm that made them do a full body search on me, and they still didn't find my knife, despite the fact that I told at least three TSA agents, you know, I have a knife, that's much more dangerous. Granted, I took that blade out, but you wouldn't know that by the x-ray scanner.
What do they say when you say you have a knife or have a blade? And what's the reaction? They think you're kidding?
No, there seemed to be no reaction whatsoever, so I think, you know, this new rule, if they're not going to look seriously for something, it's just as well that they don't bother people about them.
Benjamin, thanks so much for the call.
You know, I wish TSA would acknowledge why it's doing what it's doing and, you know, just admit the fact, concede the fact that the thinking here is you can make a weapon out of anything, so why are we wasting people's time with these little toy knives? And also what I was talking about earlier, the whole hijack paradigm being changed to now the way it is, that, you know, a knife really isn't a useful weapon from a terrorist perspective. So why are we so wrapped up in that? I think the concentration really needs to be on bombs and explosives, and breaking up those sorts of plots happens off stage.
Patrick, we have an email from Barbara in New Hampshire who wants to know, does this mean I can now knit on the plane? You could kill a person, of course, with stabbing them with your knitting needles, but
I think knitting needles were already permitted, actually, if I remember from my list. I had a list one point of what was contraband and what wasn't. For a time, knitting needles were restricted, but I think they lifted that some time ago. Not,
you know,
positive, but I believe.
We're talking to Patrick Smith, airline pilot and air travel writer. You know, Patrick, I just recalled when we were listening to I think it was Joe a couple of seconds ago, there's an investigative reporter, I believe for ABC, who every 6 months or a year goes into 10 heavily traveled airports around the country and comes out having smuggled things like bazookas onto the plane. I mean, weaponry and incredible stuff that you think is sort of Saturday Night Live-ish. Now, is that about ineptitude? What? And by the way, generally, his results are that 9 out of 10 locations, he's able to get in whatever he chooses to get in. Should we be worried about that, or is that aberrational?
I think what that is another way of admitting that you're never going to have a system that's 100% secure. I mean, more than 2 million people fly every single day in this country. And the idea that you're going to keep every conceivable weapon off of every airplane is just kind of silly. I mean, we can't keep knives and even guns sometimes out of maximum security prisons. And you're going to keep, you know, little knives off of airplanes. Those things happen, but... No, they don't worry me, not necessarily.
You know what does worry me, and you touched on this in your blog, Patrick Smith, but the looking at the baggage that is put in under the plane and the cargo is not really scanned as well as they say it is. I'm suspicious. What do you think?
It's something I think about, and honestly, I'm generally more concerned about what's underneath than what's in the actual passenger cabin.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I'm not sure what's really going on.
You know what the problem also is? If you're nervous about the airplanes, you can't even take Feng Hua anymore, Patrick. So you really have nothing left except to walk. Or
yeah.
Patrick Smith.
I heard they were starting an airline. Feng Hua.
Yeah. That's a good. Thank you, next. Patrick. It's a good one.
I bet there'll be no TSA agents at all at the Feng Hua airline. Thank you very much, Patrick Smith. He is from Somerville. Of course, he's an airline pilot and a very clever airline travel writer. Up next, we're going to be talking to Attorney General Martha Coakley. We'll talk to her about the Supreme Court decision on gay marriage. Tim Cahill settles his suit that she brought against him. And we're also going to take all your calls here at Boston Public Radio, WGBH 89.7.